things that he's supposed to do. Because just like this, with headship comes great responsibility. People that don't understand that, they think headship means boss. Well, if you want to be the boss, you're responsible for everything. What we're supposed to do, find out everything about everything. But after I got born again, one of the first things God started doing with me was teaching me this. The structure and authority and the rank and place and order of the family. And he uses that analogy with the church. He uses the church analogy with the family. Why? It's through the whole Bible, because it never changes. That's the structure and order of things. The husband is the head. Now, does that mean he just bosses her around and she does everything he says? No. Like I said, he's the one, kind of like this, just for an example. God is a God of order. He is not a God of chaos. When you look in the book of Genesis, this world was in chaos, right? There was darkness, void, all this other stuff. What was the first thing God started doing? Bringing order. That's what God does. Before you get born again, I guarantee you, there's somewhere, probably everywhere, your life is out of order. And you get born again, and the first thing God is going to start doing is bringing structure and order and place to our lives. So, first thing started happening with me was God began to teach me that. What happened was, and Sandy probably remember, I don't know if you attended them or not, maybe you didn't need them. We started having them classes up there, and they had these books and had workbooks that you buy and everything. And we would go, I don't remember what night it was, a week, up there and have class, and then at home we would do our workbook stuff, our homework. But the classes was, and the title of the book was How to Be the Wife of a Happy Husband. Now I'm still waiting on the other one. How to Be the Husband of a Happy Wife. I guess God seen we didn't really need that one quite as much as we needed How to Be the Wife of a Happy Husband. And that entire book scripturally went down rank, place, and order, and structure, authority, that whole thing about the family. And that is when I began to learn this, what I'm talking to you this morning about God, about the way he does things. You know, just like this for an example, Scotty is not the head of me so he can boss me around or he can make all the decisions or anything like that. A good man will counsel and talk to his wife, especially if she's saved. Why? Because I may see something he don't. A lot of times I do. And then when once he talks to me, he's like, oh yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Or what? Why? We're one. The Bible says we're one. Once you become married, you become one, right? But the thing about it is, say me and my kids want to go to Disneyland, for an example. Just an example. And the husband is like, nah, I just got a little thought about we ain't supposed to go to Disneyland. But we want to go to Disneyland. Now what's happening? Things is about to be in chaos. Why? Because you have four opinions. Say, I got three kids. You got four that wants to go to Disneyland, and you got one is saying, don't think we're supposed to go to Disneyland, either right now or this year or something, whatever the case may be. The husband just not supposed to go to Disneyland right now. Okay, what do you do? Okay, in a democracy or whatever, because we're talking about kingdom, but in the way we live, a lot of people today, well, you're just outvoted, four against one, so we go. That's wrong. The only reason why he is the head is because it is to solve conflict. There has to be somebody that is responsible, you know, to make the decision, and that's the decision we have to abide by. Now, if the husband is wrong, he gets dealt with. It's all through the Bible. Y'all remember Moses? God called Moses to go lead his children of Israel out of Egypt into a promised land, Canaan land. He called it a land flowing with milk and honey and all that. His full intention was to take Moses too, but Moses didn't get to go. Y'all remember why? He struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. So therefore, his disobedience caused him to be able to see it. But then Joshua had to take over and lead him on in. But the full intention of God was Moses go too. So don't ever think leadership and headship don't get dealt with. According to Scripture, they get dealt with more severely a lot of times. You read James chapter 3, verse 1, he says, many of us shouldn't seek to be teachers. Why? He says, because we will receive the greater condemnation, which means judgment. You know, than just other people. Now, there has to be somebody that brings order. And in the family, it is the husband or the father. Okay, well, then you've got, he says there, Christ is the, God, I'm on the same thing now, what I was going to say, the head of the husband. Well, the husband is the head of the wife. Then them together is of the children. Well, a lot of times what we got today, and I'm talking about in the church too, and sad we have to straighten this stuff out, is the children lead the house. And when the children leave the house, the whole entire house is out of order. And it's not going to be good. You're opening yourself up for the devil. Now let's look here. So we see here that the wife is supposed to be under the husband as far as authority. And the reason why I put rank is because like this. In the house, who has the majority of the authority? Y'all think why? Come on, Richard. Stacy ain't gonna punch you. Maybe after you leave, just not right now. It would be the husband. Why? Because as far as in the natural, he has top place. Your place gives you your authority. Now, every one of us has been given authority over the devil. And we have the same amount of authority over the devil. But when it comes to place, your place gives you your rank and your authority in the kingdom. Or just like this, say you work at Jack's. What do they got at Jack's? You got a manager, right? Well, that manager's over everybody in there. Then you got somebody else, maybe is under the manager, that is over everybody else in there. And then you got certain workers that works in their place. Just in the natural, I mean, you've got bosses and you've got foremen. You know, you got CEOs and all that. Some of those people you never see. But whatever you're doing, you're getting the orders from headquarters. It just comes down through the ranks. So the husband is the one that is the most responsible for the family. Scotty said amen.
Amen.
Let's look now at Ephesians 6. I'm going somewhere with all this. Y'all just hang on. Do I always think, Scott, every decision Scotty makes is right? No. I mean, just to be honest, a lot of times, most of the things, I think I'm smarter than him. I'm just telling you the truth. But does that change? He's the head? No, that doesn't change. He's the head. And if I have a problem with something, I mean, there's been numerous times that I had a problem with something, a decision that he made or whatever. Well, I went to the Lord about it. Why? Because it's going to do no good for me to stay up all night fussing and fighting with him about it. If I need change, if it's not the right decision, well, then the Lord is the only one that I can go to that is above him. Ain't no need in me calling mama.
Right.
And that's a whole different subject right there. Verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So both parents have authority over the children, right? It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Listen to me. God never teaches us entire scripture to rebel against authority or structure or place that he set up. Absolutely not. The devil will. Now listen, has all parents always been right in every decision that they have made, even if they're Christians? Of course not. Why? We got flesh, right? And I mean, I don't know everything. You know, just because you're a parent, just because you've had a kid, don't mean you know everything. That's one reason why you really need this instruction manual right here for kids. Because you can sure enough mess them up. But even when they're wrong, you don't go against their authority. He says right there, he says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Could be one reason why some people die early. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, in order to do that, you're going to have to seek the Lord of how to do that. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Notice he's talking about natural things here. But let me say this. I didn't mean to get on it this quick, but anyway, we will. Now, a lot of people, they don't know this. They don't think this way. They think you get graces, talents, and ability when you get born again. No, you're natural. You're born naturally into this world, and God has already put on the inside of every person that is born into this earth purpose. God didn't start trying to start directing your life and give you purpose for your life the day that you got born again. God didn't is not just having everybody being born here in the earth, and you're just doing whatever you choose to do until you do get born again, and now you better tighten up and obey God. No, He has a purpose and a plan for everybody, just like this for an example. Why do you think it is there's some people, from the time they're 3 years old, all they want to do is be a cop, be a police officer? Why do you think that is? Well, that's just them. No, it's not. That's plan and purpose that God put on the inside of them. But how many times, because a cop doesn't make as much money as a brain surgeon, y'all come on now, don't make as much money as a brain surgeon and all of that, we want to go to college and pay all this money and get all these degrees and all that, and then we want to become a brain surgeon because it pays more money, and then we live miserable lives being a brain surgeon. Why? Because the purpose of God that was on the inside of you, you should have followed it. So we don't just get that. That's a grace. Some people think grace is just unmerited favor. No, it's not. You go look it up. Matter of fact, I wrote it down. Let me just flip the page here. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, that great grace was upon them, talking about the disciples and all of that. And I looked up the word grace, and it says, and it's the same definition in the New Testament. I said, I think except for two, I think it was two places that it was different. It says the divine influence upon the heart of man and its reflection in the life, favor, and gift. So it's not just undeserved, unmerited favor. It is the divine influence of God on your heart. And that's not just when you get saved. Just like this. How many times did you feel God dealing with you before you came? Everybody in here just one time? I didn't. I felt it numerous times. That's God in our life. That's His divine influence trying to influence us in our heart. Well, the day that we get born here in the earth, He's already put purpose on the inside of each one of us. That's how come we shouldn't tell our kids, baby, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. No, you can't. Why do you think it is there's some people that it seems like them poor people don't have a lick of what we call common sense? Y'all ever seen anybody like that? But usually those people are so book smart. I mean, they're almost genius level, some of them. But just to make a grocery list, let's say Einstein couldn't even make a grocery list. He invented the light bulb. Do you think that's just him? No, that's a grace and a gift and talent that he was born with. Take Aubrey and Aiden for an example. Aubrey, now I'm telling you, that girl, the Lord really gonna have to help her if she ever gets a driver's license. She drives me around on the Gator, and I'm praying. This is how she drives. I'm an old lady. Everybody better watch out. That's what she says. I'm embarrassing her. And that's how she drives. I'm serious. And I'm trying to get the steering wheel. And I see my foot's mashing the gas because hers can't reach it or whatever. So we go pretty slow usually. And it's a little harder to turn, but she got it like this the whole time. I'm an old lady. Better watch out. She's six. Aiden, he's three. Now, Aiden is one, bless his heart, y'all may have time, you better pray. That boy, if it has a motor, he wants to ride it and he wants to drive it. We're out there at their little clubhouse last Tuesday and they're down there at the garden with Scotty, excuse me, and Scotty got old Tiller sitting down there. He's been sitting down there for a long time. Aiden went over there to that Tiller and he said, Papa, it's got a motor. And he said, yeah, it's got a motor. He said, I want to drive it. He said, boy, you can't drive that Tiller. You don't drive a Tiller. He thinks anything with a motor, he wants to ride it, and he wants to drive it, and he likes to go fast. He's three. Aiden is a very, very good driver. If he was a little bigger and had a little more strength, he would probably drive the Gator just as good as me and Scotty. I'll be driving, and she's like this, and Aiden's like, ah! Watch the tree. Aubrey, don't hit that truck over there. Where Aubrey's just like all over the place. She don't say nothing. Everybody else better look out. Why is that? Ain't none of us just sat down and taught both of them together how to drive, or just taught Aiden how to drive and skipped Aubrey? Yeah. Travis was always like that, which I think he may have a little more than you do. Ever since Travis was a little bitty thing like Aiden, You know, I mean, put him on anything. He could always drive it. And he always wanted to drive it. But now I think he has a little more. I mean, that boy, he's driven. Everything that's got a motor, he wants to ride and drive it. That's something that God put in them. Now, Aubrey has her other thing. Aubrey is the decorator of this entire family. That kid decorates everything. Got her a bicycle for Christmas one year. She's out there picking morning glories. You know how the morning glories will have the long hanger-like things? She's picking morning glories and putting them all over her bicycle. She said, look, Grandma decorated it. Yeah? Well, Scotty's got the pontoon boat out there one day, and he's working on it. And he's got a bunch of bungee cords and different things laying out there, and he's working on the motor. Guess what happens? The propeller of the boat gets all the bungee cords hanging off of it. Look, Grandma decorated my old boat. Y'all should see the bedroom at my house. She has created pictures and streamers. She's got Christmas lights hanging up in there. My refrigerator's full. That girl just loves to decorate. You don't have to make her or nothing. And she can, if she's got something to do it with, she picks out her clothes a lot of times. And she understands about matching. I don't know if anybody taught her or not, but she just seems that comes naturally. Well, there's things that God has placed on the inside of us for here in the earth. I mean, just like another example. I mean, you take a kid 5 years old, they can play the drums better than I can. And ain't nobody ain't had a first lesson. They hear it. Do you want to know why I don't hear it? I don't hear it. You know how I learn? I watch and I count. And there was a guy coming when I first started doing the drums, Joseph, he came over here and he taught me how to count. 8th notes, 16th notes, all that stuff. Well, like we're working on a new song. I've been on this song 3 weeks and I have just now got the count figured out on this song. Because this song is 8th notes, 16th notes, back to 8th notes. I'm used to 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. No, I said nothing. I took lessons to learn piano from the music teacher at Cleveland School. So you know she's pretty good. Pretty good teacher, right? She teaches all them kids. One year I learned Mary Had a Little Lamb, and it wasn't perfect either. I have no talent or gifting in that area. Now, I do have just a little bit for drumming, but I have to work really hard in it, and I don't hear it. I have to watch it play over and over and over and over. Where you take a five-year-old, they're born with that talent and that grace on the inside of them already. They hear music and they just hear the beat and they know exactly what to hit to make that sound. Do you realize how awesome God is and how He's made us? I was thinking about it this morning because there's some people they don't agree with that. I mean, just like this, kingpin drug dealers. Do you realize they have natural ability God has graced them with on the inside of them? If you're a kingpin drug dealer, you better know what you're doing. You don't get that big from Colombia and Mexico over into the United States and all around the world and China over there by being dumb. You got to know how to orchestrate, you know, and all this other stuff. You've got to have administrative skills. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. They're just using it for the wrong thing. But it was in them already. They didn't go to school and learn that. I mean, seriously. But anyway, when you think about the birds, how come some birds, ducks or geese, whatever you call them, I don't know, why is it some of them fly south every winter? What do they do? It's October now, let's get our map out here. We want to go here to Florida, to Key West, you know. Is that what the birds do? Or whatever it is that they fly south? No. How do they know the direction? How do they know when to leave? How do they know when to come back? God put it on the inside of the birds. He told me this morning, he said, don't you think that if those big tortoises, I think is what they're called, they go to certain places and they lay their eggs on the ocean, in the sand, there at the ocean. Those little things, when they hatch out, do you know where they go? Straight to the ocean, just as fast as they can get there. How do they know that? Because it's in them. And he told me this morning, he said, don't you think if I could put that in the birds and the tortoises, I could put that in my people? Right. But how many know some of us are just too rebellious and dumb to acknowledge it?
Right.
Then, those things that God has put in, that's like Ricky said. I heard a Mark Barkley the other day. He was giving testimony about Ricky Skaggs. Y'all don't know Ricky Skaggs. He's a country singer. Has been for years. Well, he's also a Christian. Well, they taught Mark Markley. He's a pastor and a prophet. They talked to him. Some of his congregation was going to listen to him. And they talked him into going with them. Well, he goes with them. And he's backstage. And he's talking to Ricky Skaggs, you know. And they're talking a little bit about giftings and everything, you know, and what got him started and this, that, and the other. And he tells him, he said, this is only a front. He said, I'm an evangelist. You know, and I'm thinking, hey, there's something going on here. So I started listening real close, you know, to what he's about to say. And Ricky Skaggs told him, he said, this is just a front. Really, I'm an evangelist. He said, I guarantee you, he said, after every one of my concerts, he said, they never get out of this place without an altar call, ever. Well, I went on listening, and Mark Barkley, he went on to tell the story, you know, then they went and he played the concert and everything. And he said when the concert was ended, he said it was like a 1-2 punch. He said, these people ain't expecting no altar call. They're off guard. He said, all of a sudden, he said, he comes out with this altar call. He said, and I have never, ever in my life ever heard anybody, any evangelist give a better altar call than he did Ricky Skaggs. He said, and I can't tell you how many people come and got born again at a Ricky Skaggs concert.
Hallelujah.
But see, now God put him in the world. That's like your pastor. There's some people, I've even had people tell me, and other pastors and things, they say he cannot be a successful pastor and a full-time business owner or working in the world. It can't happen. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
It was in Scotty before he ever got born again to be in business for himself. And he tried, but he failed. You know what? He didn't have the character or integrity to run a business. You make a little money and then you go drink it up. Well, how many knows you got to save a little money to have operate money if you go run a business? Well, he didn't do that. But it was in him for business the whole time. Scotty had an ability God given to him to talk.
Yeah.
I'm talking about before he got saved. Before I got born again, I did not have a God-given ability to talk. I didn't talk very much. And a lot of times, if I did, it was awkward. So for an example, one time, we're up at Scotty's sister's place, and Scotty got me this real pretty ring. It was two hearts made out of that copper-looking stuff or whatever. It had a diamond in the middle. And anyway, she said, oh, how pretty. Now, because I'm so awkward, and I'm not gifted to talk, I mocked her. I said, oh, how pretty. A minute or two goes by, and she says, Scotty, can I talk to you for a minute? Well, he gets out of the car and goes and talks to her. Why am I telling you this? Because there's things already inside of all of us that we may not even know it's there. And if we do know it's there, don't take it for granted. There's something you're supposed to be doing with that. Even before you get born again, you're going to be held accountable for your purpose. God gave it. It's our job to find it. Well, lo and behold, nobody knows there's anything on the inside of me. And they don't tell many people have a very big problem with me because I don't talk very much. So they don't know what I feel about things or, you know, unless I get mad or something, then it would come out or whatever. Well, lo and behold, Scotty at church, that man jumped up like popcorn almost every service. How embarrassing that would be to me. Testimony service, woo, he's popping up and he's testifying, everybody's hollering, clapping. But there was a guy there, his name was Brother Al, he's going to be with the Lord now. Brother Al said, one day he said, that Brother Scotty's got it, don't he? I mean, he's got it. I thought, yeah, he's got it, all right. But anyway, me, I sat over there, I don't know if I ever testified at church, did I? I don't think so. No, I don't have a natural ability to talk. Have y'all noticed I've been talking 31 straight minutes now?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get a breath in every now and then. That came when I got in my place. What do I mean by that? I had no idea that was in there. And if it, sometimes things don't come out till you get in the place to use them. Or they're not given till they're needed. Other things you are born with. Graces, talents, abilities. Well, just like me. Nobody knew anything was in me. God says, start a church. Brother Brad approved it. We come down here. Well, Scotty's brother started out as the Sunday school teacher here. He lasted 2 weeks. One, he wasn't supposed to be here to begin with. They had a little conflict about some decision that Scotty had made, and he lasted 2 weeks and went back to the church where he got upset at or whatever. Anyway, well, I'm on a fast at this time. Nothing about the church or anything like that. And Scotty's praying, because somebody's got to do the Sunday school if we're going to have Sunday school, you know? Well, he's praying, and guess what God tells him? Me. You know what he said? Tell him. Because nobody, not even me, knew that was there. But guess what? Ever since, I mean, I've been doing Sunday school for, 20 years now? I mean, like Monty, he does once a month. What I mean is pretty much, there's times that I am the only one that does Sunday school for years. You know, because some of y'all, maybe it's there, but you won't come do it. I don't know. We or not, we'll get off on that. But anyway, once I got in my place where God wanted me to be, and see, it wasn't that I was out of place, it's just the timing of the place came up, and when I stepped in it, I don't lack an ability to talk now. Most time I have to fast a little and quiet it down. Do you realize it's the same for everybody? Sometimes you don't have a grace until you get, till God puts you in a certain place. And listen to me, when you're in the wrong place, you are totally out of your grace. It's kind of like this. There's some people, do you realize we can't pick and choose what we are? I can't pick and choose my gender. I'm born the way I am. Now I know they're doing it. They don't make it right. I can't pick and choose what gifts and graces and talents and abilities. Sure, I could go to school. Sure, I can take music lessons and try that, you know, and maybe, I mean, some people, you know, even if you have a grace or a talent or ability, doesn't mean you don't have to practice it either. That thing is automatically already there, but it has to be growed. It has to be practiced. It has to be matured. That's just like this. And if you're going to access any of the grace, you'll never do it except by faith. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've got up here and I don't have a clue what I'm going to say. Now, when that for the first time that happened to me, I told Scotty, I said, you better call somebody. I said, I just don't have it this morning. Maybe somebody else has got it. Now, I didn't know a lot of what I'm telling you this morning. I have learned over time that anywhere is my place, I have the grace, but I'm going to have to access that grace by faith. And if I will access the grace that is in me to do what God has called me to do and be, it's there. Just like this morning, I'm not even looking at my notes. This drumming up here. Now this song, a couple of them I've had a real hard time with, that Break Every Chain and all that, and then this one is, because it switches back and forth so much and all that, I've had a hard time with that. And I've had people telling me stuff and all that, and the devil telling me stuff and everything, and to the point to where I just felt discouraged and wanted to quit. Just say, look, bro, you know, take this stick and stick it. I'm serious. You know, I can't do it. But I thought about what God's been talking to me about. That's my place. Now, I don't know if any of y'all are supposed to be there or not, but that's my place. I'm the only drummer y'all got. I didn't say I was the best one. You know one thing that qualifies me for that place?
Faithfulness.
You can have all the grace and talent and ability that God has ever given to anybody, but if you are an unfaithful person, you can't use it. So just faithfulness alone qualifies me up there, and then God helps me. You know? But I told the Lord the other night, because I was feeling, or last week I think it was, week before. But anyway, I was feeling like that. Take this stick and stick it. I'm done with this song. I'm done with this praise team. I'm having a hard time. I can't do it. And because of this, I started thinking about it, and I thought, I'm the drummer of that church. Because I always like to think myself, and now Scotty, I think he gets a little overboard sometimes. He is the expert bass player. He knows everything there is to know about the bass. What you laughing for, praise team leader? He don't even need his papers. He's got his chords on it. He already knows it. He finds new chords, he says. Now, I like to think of mine with the way that I think that I am, you know, and everything. And I can play a little bit. But I mean, now y'all know what y'all hearing and different things like that. There's people way better than me about it. But I told the Lord, I said, God, I'm the drummer of that house. So therefore, God, if I'm the drummer of that house, I have the grace to learn to play them drums. Help me. So by faith, I started putting my words on me drumming. I called Scotty and that, hey, I'm a little past my little drum reel there. Not all the way, but I'm a little past it now. I called Scotty in there last night. I told him, I said, I want you to come watch me. Because now, when I get up here, I get a little nervous too, you know, and playing there is different. And I haven't got no drums to practice on at home either. I use the table and just the air. So anyway, I turned my computer on. I said, listen, I want you to come in here and watch me. So he came in there, you know, and he's watching me and everything, and I'm this and this. And I said, now you got to watch my foot too, make sure I'm doing it all right, you know, and everything. And he watches me, you know, and I get as far as I can on that. He said, you did that with him? He said, you didn't miss a beat. You know when that got better? When I started accessing the grace that is in me to play them drums by faith. How'd you get saved? What does Ephesians 2 say? The Bible says you are saved by grace, which you didn't do anything to deserve it. He says, but you access it by faith. God has already paid the price for salvation for the entire world. But you can't be born again till you by faith access that grace that's already been done. That is everything in our entire lives. Now, I almost took up all my time with that. We ain't got nowhere again. Okay. Well, we didn't read all that, but we won't. Y'all understand that, right? Okay. Now, the kingdom is not a democracy where we get to vote on everything we want. Listen, there's been people here, you know, I tell you right now, if I was running that church, then this wouldn't happen, and that wouldn't happen, and this would be a different color. Not if you obey God. Do you understand? Your pastor don't get to do everything he wants to do. Every decision that he makes, he doesn't enjoy making that decision. He might have wanted to make a different one. See, it's real easy for me to tell the quarterback who to throw the ball to and tell the running back how to catch it and where to go when I'm sitting on my couch. I can be an excellent football player. That's Scotty. He hears me. I tell them what to do all the time. I tell them go. I tell them run. I tell them, don't go that way. What's wrong with you? When I'm sitting on the couch. Now, because I got just a few minutes, about 6 minutes left is all where I want to go. King, the word kingdom means it comes from two words, king and domain. All it simply means is the domain where the king rules. How many knows that is supposed to be in our entire life? But I'm sad to say that in mine, in every area, it's not yet. We all should be working on it. We might not all be there yet. Now, I've got to get to this one. Beth, let's put up Matthew 25. I think I want 14 through 30. We'll probably have to close after this one. Now, this is the parable of the talents. That's 24. That's why it didn't look right. Over 25 over here. Now, don't just think he's talking about money here because he's not. It's everything that I just got through telling you for 25 minutes. Every one of us has been born with a God-given purpose on the inside of us before you get born again. There's things, there's graces, there's talents, there's ability, there's favor that God has given before we ever even get born again. And he fully intends that to be used for the purpose that you find within you. Some people, they use their talent to make money that was never intended to. They're supposed to be playing in the kingdom, not in the bar. You understand that? And we'll be held accountable for everything. And including our money. Now listen to me. In the kingdom, the king owns everything and the subjects own absolutely nothing. Now see, that is a hard, hard thing for us here in the United States to understand a lot of times. But when you go over to the Bahamas and different places, they are kingdom ruled. They're not like us. And they very well understand that. Now, because the king owns everything, Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to who? Belongs to God. God, what did God do? God's not been putting gold in inside the earth and all that stuff all this time. He did all that, everything mankind could possibly ever need. God already supplied it before he ever made the man. And that's the good thing about in the kingdom. The king owning everything. I don't have ownership of everything, but the king takes care of me.
Right.
Now, let's look here in Matthew 25. We're going to start reading in verse 14. Notice what it says. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Not theirs, his. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he, just like the earth, it's on lease to us, right? God set up a time that it'll be returned back to him. He says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Yay! And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. We know the Lord one day will come with us and reckon with us, right? There'll be rewards given, and some rewards, we should have got some rewards that we might not or whatever. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, now notice what he said. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Like I said about my drumming, I have very little talent for that. And we all know it. But you know what? You take somebody that's got amazing God-given talent and don't use it. And you take somebody like me that God has given, I mean, what if I have mustard seed full of talent for drumming? And I use it to the best of my ability for his kingdom. Who do you think is going to receive the greater reward? So it's not all about how much you've been given. It's about how much do you do with what you have been given. And we'll see this. He goes on and he says here, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Listen, the things we do here and now determines our place, what we get to do in the kingdom.
Amen.
He says, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent, or like me, the grain of mustard seed talent, it says, came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Did you now? That thou art a hard man. Did he seem hard to the others?
No.
Nah. He says, reaping where thou hast not sown. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whose talents was it? The Lord's.
Yeah.
He entrusted them to them. So there's no way that he was trying to reap something where he didn't sow nothing. He sowed it to them, right? Ain't that what he does to us?
Yeah.
Now he's coming back and he's expecting to receive more. Why? Because he's sown something. Now he goes on here and he says, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid. Do you know in the book of Revelation, the last chapter over there, it says no cowards will enter in?
Yes.
Yeah. Cowards, drunkards, all that stuff is right along in the same thing. Why? This is what fear does to you. He says, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. He is not getting the same thing the others did. He said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. In other words, put it in the bank drawing interest. So I'll get something more. You did something with it, right? He says, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, which is interest. He says, take therefore, notice this, the talent from him, the one that didn't do nothing with the little bit that he had. It says, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But notice that. He said, take this one and give another place the same parable. He said, but Lord, he has 10. God don't care how many you get. If you ain't going to do nothing with it, he takes it and he gives it to somebody that will. That's how come I'm the drummer in this place. It's not because I'm the best drummer around Blount County. No, I'm probably one of the worst. But you know what? God has given me just a small bit, and I take it, and by faith I access grace. And you know what? The Bible says you can actually grow in grace. So I'm growing in grace for this drumming. Why? Because I'm learning about grace and place and all of that and putting my faith on. Listen, there's nothing you can't do with enough grace. Wow. Nothing. But they, you can do very little with no grace or very little grace. And we got to stop because I'm actually a little bit over time. Does anybody have any comments or things they'd like?